Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. And it's time to come and reason together through the Bible. So get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee, and we're going into the Passover. This is number six, and this is they had the dinner, but the Passover lamb has not yet been sacrificed, the Passover lamb being Jesus. So this all pointed to Jesus dying on the cross. So we're continuing on in John chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, John 18 verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the ravine of the Kidron, where there was a garden in which he entered with his disciples. Now Judas also, who was betraying him, knew the place, for Jesus had often met there with his disciples. Judas then, having received the Roman cohort and the officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. So Jesus, knowing all the things that were coming upon him, went forth and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus the Nazarene." He said to them, "I am." And Judas also, who was betraying him, was standing with him. So when he said to them, "I am," they drew back and they fell to the ground. He used his name, "I am." See how powerful that name is? And Jesus is the I am. Therefore, he again asked them, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus the Nazarene." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am. So if you seek me, let these go their way. To fulfill the word which he spoke, 'Of those whom you have given me, I lost not one.' Simon Peter then, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. And the slave's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, 'Put the sword into the sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it?' So the Roman cohort and the commander and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. They led him to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was expedient for one man to die on behalf of the people. And that actually was telling the truth. Simon Peter was following Jesus, so was another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter was standing at the door outside, so the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. Then the slave girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You're not also one of those man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." So that's denial number one. And we're not talking about the river in Egypt. So denial number one. Now the slaves and the officers were standing there having made a charcoal fire, for it was cold and they were warming themselves. And Peter was also with them standing and warming himself. And the high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. And Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews came together, and I spoke nothing in secret. Why do you question me? Question those who have heard what I spoke to them. They know what I said." When he had said this, one of the officers standing nearby struck Jesus. "Is that the way you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify of the wrong. But if right, why do you strike me?" So Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now, this is the next context. Now, Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I'm not." That's number two. One of the slaves of the high priest, being a relative of the one whose ear Peter cut off, the plot is thickening, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him? Didn't I see you whacking my relative's ear off?" And Peter then denied it again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Now, in one of the Matthew, Mark, Luke, at that moment, Jesus looked at Peter, and Peter went out and wept bitterly at that. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium, and it was early, and they themselves did not enter into the praetorium so that they would not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. Therefore Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" Now, see, the Passover hadn't yet really happened. The amount of money given to Judas to betray Jesus was the exact amount of a Passover lamb. Jesus was sacrificed at the hour the Passover lamb was to be sacrificed. Everything was in place. Everything foretold Jesus' death on the cross and his burial and his resurrection. It was all foretold in the tabernacle. Go to the website and you'll see the blueprint of man, and you'll see the blueprint of the temple. Jesus fulfilled everything that was pictured in the temple. It was a roadmap. It was foretelling all those who had eyes to see what exactly was going to happen. Anyway, they answered and said to him, "If this man were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him to you." So Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The Jews said to him, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death, to fulfill the word of Jesus, which he spoke, signifying by what kind of death he was going to die." Therefore Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did the others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done?" You must have done something wrong. They're not going to deliver you up, right? Okay. That's what we sometimes think. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting." And that word is the Greek word agonizem. And so they would be agonizing, so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. Therefore Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say correctly, I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And he didn't know what truth was. Here he saw God right in front of his eyes, and he said, "What is truth?" He who has ears to hear, he who has eyes, let him see. That would be the thing to say. And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I release someone." As a matter of fact, in another place, it says that he had had several dreams, or his wife had had several dreams, to do nothing to him. "But you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you wish then that I release for you the king of the Jews?" So they cried out, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now, Barabbas was a robber, and another place said he was a murderer. So they chose the murderer over God. That is the nature of man. Don't think we're any different today. We're probably even worse off today. Pilate then took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and put a purple robe on him. And they began to come up to him and say, "Hail, King of the Jews," and to give him slaps in the face. And they actually beat him on the face, too. They beat him with their fists. Depends on if you're looking at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, is the full picture. Pilate came out again and said to him, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you so that you may know that I find no guilt in him." Jesus then came out wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." So when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify, crucify." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered, "We have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he made himself out to be the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid, and he entered into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You do not speak to me. Do you not know that I have the authority to release you and I have authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me to you has greater sin." As a result of this, Pilate made efforts to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If you release this man," now let's get it straight, who's going to kill Jesus here? It is not going to be the normal people. It is going to be the religious leaders of the time. If Jesus came back today, you wonder how he would be treated today. As a result of this, Pilate made efforts to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar." Therefore, when Pilate heard these words, that made him nervous, he brought Jesus out, sat down on the judgment seat at the place called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover. It was about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." So they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Oh boy, did they just say the truth right there. They really said that God was really not their king. So he then handed him over to be crucified. So they took Jesus, therefore, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him with him two other men, one on either side and Jesus in between. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It is written, "Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." Therefore, many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests and the Jews were saying to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but that he said, 'I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." And he wrote the truth. And they didn't like it. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer garments and made four parts, a part to every soldier, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to decide whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, "They divided my outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Therefore the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus was his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And this is John. "Behold your mother." From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. That's a great scripture. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished, you know, Jesus, sometimes men get so religious, and yet Jesus was always personable, always personable. He's on the cross and he's personable. Oh my, that is just amazing, isn't it? To the end, right to the end. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the scripture, said, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. Then the Jews, because it was the day of preparation, he died right at the time of the Passover lamb. Jesus is the lamb. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man and the other who was crucified with him. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs, just like it said in the Psalms, not a bone was going to be broken. But one of the soldiers pierced his side, just like it says in the Scriptures, with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And many people think that signifies a broken heart. The stress, probably the pressure of all the things he went through, and especially the father, his father, turning his back on him when he became sin. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth so that you also may believe. For these things came to pass to fulfill the Scripture, not a bone of him shall be broken. And again, another Scripture says, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but one in secret, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate granted permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus, who first came to him by night, that's back in John 3, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen wrappings with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb, in which no one had yet been laid. Therefore, because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Chapter 20. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said to him, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came into the tomb first, and stooped, and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. So the first was a glance. And so Simon Peter also came in. There's actually three different Greek words used here. Simon Peter also came following him and entered the tomb, and he saw that the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb, they also entered and saw. The third word for looking, they really looked. Now when they looked, they believed, for as yet he had not understood the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes, but Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping, and so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. One place it says that he disguised himself to look like a gardener. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Suppose him to be the gardener. Oh, there it is, right there. She said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Oh boy. Jesus said to her, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to the brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And he said these things to her. Wow. She thought it was a gardener. Then he said the name, and it says, my sheep hear my voice. She surely knew his voice. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. And the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins will be forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands and the imprint of the nails, and put my finger in the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst, and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in his name. Chapter 21. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will also come with you." They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" And they said to him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find a catch." So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." So when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciple came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got to the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some fish, which you now have caught." Simon Peter went and drew the net to the land, full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and dine." None of the disciples ventured to question him, "Who are you?" Knowing that it was the Lord, Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. Now this is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you agape love me?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you like a brother," with phile. He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you phile me? Do you love me like a brother?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Till we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. If you have any questions or comments, please call me, Andy, at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. That's Andy at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."